chance we're crossing the same roads all at one time. Even if you say it, time and no time to play out gracefully. One thing I know for sure, there'll be no doubt when you see you are. Rest make dab in the middle of it. Rest make dab in the middle. We are rest make dab.
Secret truth. Through forgiveness, we awaken, transforming information and knowledge into wisdom.
Welcome to the secret truth. We've had quite a bit going on this week. We had CNN with that debacle of a town hall that former President Trump, just demolished the moderator, and he said. Drill was one of the answers that he gave. We're not going to cover that. You can find that in many places on the web. But our first clip is John Bound. He's talking about all those contributions that China and other countries made to the Biden family. So, this was just to grant. I think there were some grandchildren, one or two, involved. But listen to what John Bound has to say about those contributions disguised possibly as business payoffs, but they were possibly political payoffs. So here we go with John Bannon.
House Republicans are getting closer to uncovering the full scope of the alleged Biden crime family treason, and the distractions are becoming more obvious. For the record, no one gives two shits about George Santos.
I've been accused, all of us have been, over this particular issue that we're conspiracy theorists. We're not. What we're proving to you today is showing you actual bank records, actual evidence of shell companies and businesses, or more businesses and more Bidens involved than we knew of. You have to issue more subpoenas because every time we turn over a rock, there's more information. There's more possible corruption. There's more possible allegations that need to be investigated.
First instance, while Vice President Biden was lecturing Romania on anti-corruption policies, in reality, he was a walking billboard for his son and family to collect money.
Corruption is a cancer that eats away at a citizen's faith in democracy. And most importantly, it denies the people their dignity.
Hunter Biden and his associates capitalized on a lucrative financial relationship with a Romanian national who was under investigation for and later convicted of corruption in Romania. The Bidens received over $1 million for the deal. And 16 of the 17 payments to their associates' account that funneled the Biden's money occurred while Joe Biden was vice president. In fact, the money stops flowing from the Romanian national soon after Joe Biden leaves the vice presidency.
Walker's limited liability company, Robinson Walker LLC, paid Hunter, James, Halley, and others in the Biden network more than $2 million after foreign money hit his account. This included payments to James Biden, who received 5 wires and over $50,000, who did no discernible work to earn that money.
There is no business structure around this family except politics. And since Joe Biden has spent decades in the Senate, served 8 years as vice president, and is now president of the United States, and the family's getting money from various countries and foreign businesses through various shell companies and this web of LLCs. I mean, guys, you in the press, this is easy pickings. I'm giving you Pulitzer stuff here. 16 companies created while he was vice president. Now the list is 20, and as we continue our investigation, that list is growing. You have Rosemont Seneca Partners, Rosemont Seneca Advisors, Rosemont Seneca Technology Partners, RSP Holdings, RSTP2 Alpha, RSTP2 Bravo. You are concealing money from either the IRS or from credit agencies or from other people in general. That's the only reason you set up a structure like this.
Following the House Oversight Committee's press conference, there were crickets from the CIA's news networks, NBC and ABC. To their credit, CBS attempted to put the allegations to bed, attempting to mutate the conspiracy theory psyop in the face of bank documents and whistleblower testimony into a nothing burger.
What law was broken, you wonder. What has been the White House's response to all of this being investigated?
Well, one of the White House spokesmen, Ian Sams, was live tweeting during the event. He said, what has this committee shown, the direct link or the data points that link policy changes, this allegation of undue influence, and Joe Biden? And he also indicated that it would be important for them to sort of put some meat on the bone to these allegations, given that at least two media outlets, the Washington Post and the Wall Street Journal, had not been able to make this connection between payments, Joe Biden, and undue influence on policy decisions. So the White House had a very fulsome response to the news conference this morning. They make the allegation that this letter from 51 former intelligence officials in October of 2020 saying that the laptop had the earmarks of an information campaign was really sort of leveraged by the Biden campaign to tamp down any discussion of the contents of Hunter Biden's laptop. We did our own independent forensic review of the laptop data. We obtained a copy that mirrored what was provided to the FBI in 2019. And in our case, we did not find any evidence that the contents had been altered or doctored or faked in any way.
But CBS only raises more questions that must and will be answered if this republic is to stand.
If you're doing something legitimate, if you're providing something of value, why not just get the payment directly from the payer? Why do you have to funnel it through three or four different bank accounts?
And you keep saying policy peddling. What policy are you referring to? Are you referring to the IP policy that Biden took away whenever he took office? What specific policies are you talking about?
Well, we know that the vice president during the last year of the Obama administration traveled around the world. He talked a lot about foreign aid in different countries, talked a lot about American policy, American assistance. And these are the part of the types of policies. You look at some of the decisions that Joe Biden's made as president. There are many decisions that we would make a strong argument that put China first and America last. So these are the types of decisions, and we'll get into more of those later. Yes.
When are we going to learn about the other six? Who are the other six?
Well, since you asked, I will tell you. Joe Biden's son, Joe Biden's brother, Joe Biden's brother's wife, Hunter Biden's girlfriend or Bo Biden's widow, however you want to write that, Hunter Biden's ex-wife, Hunter Biden's current wife, and three children of the president's son and the president's brother. So we're talking about a grandchild. That's odd. Most people that work hard every day, his grandchild doesn't get a wire from a foreign national or anything like that. So,
John Bound reporting.
Coming up next is John Solomon. It's just the news is what he has, and he covers quite a bit. I'm going to put a click off on his site, a hypertext link, but this is just a small clip of a former, you could say, immigration official that one of the organizations there that gives a report on the number of gotaways and so forth. And he says it's very important is what this former official and official says about why the cartel held back some of the immigrants for the 42 Article 12 expiration. So, but there's this Article 8 now that's being applied to. So it looks like it may be even harder to get across and easier for us to return them right at this time. But this is John Bound with a report about why 42 wasn't the overwhelming cross the border by thousands. It just didn't occur like we first thought. So here we go with that John Solomon report.
All right, folks, welcome back from the commercial break. It is day one in the post-Title 42 era, and the world is watching closely to see what happens at our southern border. Joining us right now, a man who's on the front lines. He knows what's really going on. He is the president of the Border Patrol Agents Union and our good friend, Brandon Judd. Brandon, great to have you on the show.
John, good to be with you. Thank you.
This is a very difficult day, I know, for all of our colleagues, your colleagues on the front lines. Tell us what we're going to see today, what happened overnight, what we're going to see today and over the weekend.
So believe it or not, we're not going to see a whole lot of increase today. And the reason why we're not going to see that is because the cartels recognize that there is too much media right now. There's too much media attention on this. So we're going to see the status quo from the last several days, which is already astronomically high.
Right.
We average in a normal administration on a normal day, we average between 1,000 to 1,500 apprehensions per day. Right now, we're over 10,000 apprehensions per day. So that number is already astronomically high. But the cartels are recognizing that there's been such a huge media push on this. You've got Secretary Mayorkas that has done press conferences 2 days in a row. You've got this administration now talking about it. So the cartels recognize, they understand the politics here in the United States. They understand the ebbs and flows. So we're going to see the same number, this same huge number, but as the talk starts to die down, as you start to see the media go away from the border, that's when you're going to see the numbers start to shoot right back up. So we can expect, post-Title 42, we can expect that our numbers are going to go up anywhere between 13 to 16,000 apprehensions per day. But we've got to put context to that. The apprehensions in and of itself are just a number. When you look at what the numbers do to us, when we're apprehending 3,000 people, we're pulling resources out of the field. We don't have as many Border Patrol agents patrolling the border. When we're apprehending 5,000 people a day, now we only have 50% of our Border Patrol agents patrolling the border. When we hit 10,000 apprehensions a day, that means we're only deploying 30% of our Border Patrol agents to patrol the border. And when that happens, the cartels are able to gain ground on the vast majority of our border. They start controlling the vast majority of our border. Once those numbers go up to 13, 16,000, we're only going to have 10% of our Border Patrol agents actively patrolling the border, and the cartel will own every inch of the border. That's why borders, and when you look at what they're going to bring across, the fentanyl, the criminal aliens, the aliens from special interest country, that's why border security is so important to the United States, because we keep so much of that out. But when we can't properly patrol the border, we can't do it, and American people, they suffer for it.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And the thinner the line is on the Border Patrol, the fewer agents are on there because they're taking care and doing concierge service, checking people in, larger the number of the gotaways are going to be, right? So when we talk about 10, 15, 16,000 maybe by the summer, the gotaways are going to be at an all-time high. Isn't that right?
Yeah, we're already an all-time high at everything, even in gotaways. But again, to put it in perspective, as the number of crossings go up, as the number of apprehensions go up, then the gotaways go up. And that's what keeps us up at night. We only count the number of apprehensions because it tells us what else is going to happen. It tells us how many agents we're going to have on the line, how many agents we're going to have patrolling the border. And based upon the number of agents patrolling the border, it tells us whether the cartels are going to control certain things, whether they're going to be able to bring in their fentanyl or other hard narcotics, and whether they're going to be able to bring in the dangerous people. And yes, they will. The gotaways will go up. We're already seeing the gotaways go up. We're going from 2,000 gotaways a day to close to 3,000 gotaways per day right now. That is very, very dangerous to the American people. Just look at the fentanyl poisoning that's taking place. 70,000 Americans every single year under this administration are losing their lives to fentanyl poisoning, and that's going to continue when we lose control. I'm sorry, those numbers are even going to go up when we lose control of the border.
It's so shocking to see what was going on. The last few days, there's been a lot of high-profile statements. There's been professions that they're going to do something different. It's going to be okay. Is there anything that Secretary Mayorkas, President Biden, or anyone else in Homeland Security has done in the last week really is going to make any difference? Nothing, right?
No, not at all. Not at all. It's amazing that they're claiming a win. They're claiming a win, 10,000 apprehensions, and they're claiming a win. What they're trying to do is they're trying to set the new normal. They're trying to get people to think that this is, 10,000 apprehensions, no big deal. That's what they're trying to do. And unfortunately for us, the mainstream media is covering for them. They allow them to deflect. They don't ask them the tough questions. They don't ask them about the gotaways. They don't ask them about the fentanyl. They don't ask, they don't press them on anything. So when they get out there and they give the press conference, you get the mainstream media running away saying, oh, look, look, they're doing a lot. They're doing a lot. When Karine Jean-Pierre is allowed to lie and say, we've dropped by 90%. Yeah, we dropped by 90% of their already high. We're not dropping by 90% of what previous administrations have done. We're dropping by 90% of their already high. And by the way, their 90% drop of already high still beats the record of every other previous administration.
This next report was an interview with Laura Loomer. And she first came to my attention. She not only did work for Project Veritas, but she was out reporting on the Las Vegas shooting out there that occurred. And she went down and dug down and followed some of the security guards back to their home. One of the most aggressive investigative reporters I have ever seen. And I really respect her for all her get up and go. And she did run for Congress in one of the districts in Florida, but failed to win that particular district. But she's given us some exposure, expose of DeSantis there and some of this recent bill he had that's just devastating for free speech and so forth. So anyway, she's got some really good insights on what's going on. And there was just a recent conference up in D.C. at this spy museum or whatever. And she reveals what happened there and what went on and has a really arousing report and conversation with Alex. So here we go with Alex and Laura Loomer.
This organization, Alex, this is not a conspiracy. You know, they call us crazy for saying that Mark Zuckerberg stole the election and that George Soros and Zuckerberg gave all this money to the secretaries of state and that they meet in secrecy to plot the election heist. This is literally happening. This conference was taking place yesterday and today in Washington, D.C. at the International Spy Museum. And all the elections are on camera. I recorded them. I confronted them going in. You can see the footage on my Twitter as well of me getting pushed out by a really large security guard. They're meeting with the head of CEIR that received $69.5 million from Mark Zuckerberg. You can see the receipts there on your screen. That's David Becker.
And then Zuckerberg gave, what, $400 million to collate all the names of dead people and folks that moved out of districts to do this. So they've already bragged in Time Magazine. We showed the article how they did it. The very same players are back again. Well, they tell us about election meddling. They've been caught in Congress. It's all come out, not just with the mail-in ballots, not just with dead people voting, but the way they censored and controlled and manipulated, which, again, Professor Epstein exposed before the election was going to happen.
Yeah, absolutely. And all of the people that were notorious, they like to say that it's nonpartisan, right? Like, oh, this is nonpartisan because we have Republicans here, too. Yeah, what kind of Republicans do they have? They have Brad Raffensperger, the Republican, right? Yeah, a real Republican, Secretary of State of Georgia, who was at the center of the stolen election in Georgia.
Yeah, so all the same players, as they try to make it illegal to question elections, even though the State Department runs around all over the world checking elections, and ours on record are some of the worst on the planet, they're trying to outlaw questioning, and all the key players from Arizona and Georgia and everywhere that stole the election are now there with a bunch of spy chiefs at the spy museum.
Yeah, at the International Spy Museum, it's almost like they're trying to mock us, right? They call us conspiracy theorists and say that we're nut jobs for trying to question the legitimacy of our elections. They call us election deniers, but then they're literally at the spy museum.
And all we have to do is reject the culture of death in the New World Order and take our governments back. But remember that Time Magazine article? I meant to tell the crew to get it. Dew had it this morning waving in front of me, reminding me. I meant to get it. I think the headline was How We Did It. It was about 2 months after they stole the election, the general election in 2020. They had a 30-something page article describing how controlled media, think tanks, intelligence agencies, neocon right-wingers, left-wingers, foreign spies, all basically manipulated the election and then stole it. But it was all done for our own good. Who can find the headline? Just bring him in. He'll find it. But the point is, we've shown it 100 times. Here's the new article at Loomer.com. We're posting the full article Yeah, there it is. Scroll back down. The secret history of the shadow campaign that saved the 2020 election. Oh, well, they're back. We're going to post Laura Loomer's article on InfoWars.com. National election officials gathering for secret Zuckerberg-funded Soros-tied U.S. election summit at International Spy Museum. She is there. She was late coming on because she just made another confrontation where they had the Maricopa County officials there as well. Talk about evil. And why aren't all the rest of the populist conservative nationalist media there? But Laura Loomer of Loomer.com is there. Boy, she knows about election fraud. Laura, great to have you on. Wow, a lot of footage of you confronting Raskin and these other rascals. But tell people about this meeting and why it's so important.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me on, Alex. And as you just said, we were supposed to do this interview 15 minutes ago, but I got some intel that the Maricopa County Director of Elections and the Director for Early Voting in Maricopa County named Ray Valenzuela was downstairs ordering coffee. So I just ambushed him. He got Loomered inside the Starbucks while he was getting his coffee. So, you know, this is breaking in real time. Okay. The summit, as you see on my site there, Loomer.com, it's a secret election summit that's being hosted by a group called CEIR, the Center for Election Innovation Research. And this is a group that was founded by an individual named David Becker. David Becker is the founder of ERIC. And I know that you've talked about the ERIC system on your show quite some time. And ERIC is headquartered out of D.C. And David Becker actually had to resign from ERIC about a month and a half or so ago. And this was after three Republican states pulled out of the ERIC system. It's all in that article for people to see. They can also see it on my Substack, lauraloomer.substack.com, where it's free to subscribe. And this organization, Alex, this is not a conspiracy. You know, they call us crazy for saying that Mark Zuckerberg stole the election and that George Soros and Zuckerberg gave all this money to these secretaries of state and that they meet in secrecy to plot the election heist. This is literally happening. This conference was taking place yesterday and today in Washington, D.C. at the International Spy Museum. And all the elections are on camera. I recorded them. I confronted them going in. You can see the footage on my Twitter as well of me getting pushed out by a really large security guard. They're meeting with the head of CEIR that received $69.5 million from Mark Zuckerberg. You can see the receipts there on your screen. That's David Becker.
Zuckerberg gave, what, $400 million to collate all the names of dead people and folks that moved out of districts to do this. So they've already bragged in Time Magazine. We showed the article how they did it. The very same players are back again. Well, they tell us about election meddling. They've been caught in Congress. It's all come out, not just with the mail-in ballots, not just with dead people voting, but the way they censored and controlled and manipulated, which, again, Professor Epstein exposed before the election was going to happen.
Yeah, absolutely. And all of the people that were notorious, they like to say that it's nonpartisan, right? Like, oh, this is nonpartisan because we have Republicans here, too. Yeah, what kind of Republicans do they have? They have Brad Raffensperger, the Republican, right? Yeah, a real Republican, Secretary of State of Georgia, who was at the center of the stolen election in Georgia.
Yeah, so all the same players, as they try to make it illegal to question elections, even though the State Department runs around all over the world checking elections, and ours on record is some of the worst on the planet, they're trying to outlaw questioning, and all the key players from Arizona and Georgia and everywhere that stole the election are now there with a bunch of spy chiefs at the spy museum.
Yeah, at the International Spy Museum, it's almost like they're trying to mock us, right? They call us conspiracy theorists and say that we're nut jobs for trying to question the legitimacy of our elections. They call us election deniers, but then they're literally at the spy museum. I mean, you see it. I'm standing in front of the spy museum. You see me chase Bill Gates, who is one of the Maricopa County supervisors who's mentioned in Carrie Lake's lawsuit. Also, how is it appropriate for these Maricopa County officials, all of whom are mentioned in Carrie Lake's lawsuit regarding her stolen election out of Arizona for governor, to be attending this conference? They're in the middle of active litigation. And so Adrian Fontes, for example, who's the Secretary of State of Arizona, he's there. He called Trump supporters MAGA fascists. He's on the record. There's a story about it. I can send it to you. I can text it to your staff right now while we're doing this.
No, I know.
Interview.
It's incredible. It's incredible. And the woman that ran the elections was also running for governor. She won. She just lost a federal case in one of the second largest county in Arizona, that she was trying to take it over. But even though state law says she doesn't take it over until there's a problem, that's why they create the problem. So these guys are as dirty as it gets.
Yeah, and as we know, Katie Hobbs was Carrie Lake's opponent on the Democrat ticket, and she was also the Secretary of State. So she was able to oversee her own election, which is currently being contested, all the way up to the Supreme Court of Arizona, and all of these officials who are involved were there, and I confronted them. I also chased David Becker down the street. He's the guy that, of course, is organizing this conference, the founder of ERIC, the founder of CEIR. He used to work for Pew Charitable Trust, and as we know, that is that was also tied to George Soros's Open Societies Foundation, which is George Soros's official grant-making operation that he founded and operates. All of the receipts and documentation is inside the report on my website. And another funny thing to highlight as well, Alex, is the fact that in his book, The Big Truth, this guy, David Becker, said that it was an anti-Semitic trope to say that people like George Soros and Mark Zuckerberg funded the theft of our elections. Like, because they're what, Jewish? Well, guess what, buddy? I'm Jewish too, and I'm calling you out. So am I some kind of Jewish Nazi, or am I some kind of self-hating Jew?
Because by the way, I have the View now saying that Jews, black people, brown people, they're all Nazis if they question elections. So the new definition is the number one terror threat's white supremacist, and then anybody that doesn't agree with them is a white supremacist. This is preposterous. Meanwhile, George Soros literally worked for Hitler and said it was the best time in his life and, quote, exhilarating.
Yeah, he said that he helped the Nazis confiscate property. And so, look, this is just absurd. They're trying to make it illegal to talk about elections. They're trying to make it illegal to question election officials. And another thing that's very concerning is this group, CEIR, they have an offshoot organization called EOLDN, Election Official Legal Defense Network. And they were also present at the summit, and they had lawyers there, pro bono lawyers who are a part of this organization there to provide pro bono legal support to elections officials who are being harassed. Why are they trying to line up free legal counsel for secretaries of states and supervisors of
elections? Because they're getting their story straight. Just like Soros puts on events for all his DAs he's gotten elected to quarterback the attacks. This is a takeover.
Absolutely, Alex. And it's a shame that the Republican Party, okay, they're not out here exposing this. They don't want to talk about it. My expose was posted weeks ago. Okay, weeks ago I posted this. I sent it to everybody. You know, I sent it to you. I obviously know you're very busy, but there should be more people here exposing this, because this is an election fortification summit hosted by the same people. Look, when he worked for the DOJ, David Becker, the founder of CEIR and ERIC, who hosted this conference, he was recommended for disbarment by his boss at the DOJ, who said that he was unethical and was acting.
Sure, absolutely. We have hours of footage of Democrats, the last 6-7 elections, saying the machines don't work, they're fraudulent, this is a scam, trying to block electors, doing the same things we did on January 6th, just trying to have an investigation in the Senate. Now suddenly they're saying you can't ever question this. You can't ever challenge this, because this is their strategy to stay in power, that and total open borders. But let me say something since you mentioned this.
Yeah.
I'm in Chapter 11, Subchapter 5, Bankruptcy. We're still on air. We're going to continue on. We've given the court all the documents. The court's very pleased. We've been nothing but truthful. The other side lied about all this money we had. None of it was true. That's all been disproven. Notice the media is silent now about my bankruptcy, because all the lies weren't true. Sworn in federal court. Outside accountants came and checked it all. I had no money. None of it was true. Absolute crap. You would have been a full-time reporter here, Laura. We don't have the money. We barely have a couple reporters. We can barely have money to go to the border. I had to really put my foot down to even get the money to go cover the border collapse that's going on. But yes, yes, if we get more support, because we're stabilized now, we would love, because you're knocking out of the park every day. We would love to have you as a reporter. We'd love to hire 50 reporters. But we can't do it. So that's why I'm drinking out of a fire hose here, okay? I know you sent us this. I saw this a few weeks ago. I think I even mentioned it. You know how they're. But the point is, we know it's going on, but at least you're there, and now you're on air with us. But that's why listeners need to know they need the products at InfoWarsStore.com. Everybody needs pure iodine. Most iodine's not pure. It's the number one cause of cognitive disability and so many other health problems. We have the purest, best iodine back in stock. You can lead a horse to water. You can't make them drink. If we have the funds, we will expand, not just contract. We have a plan. InfoWars will continue on indefinitely during this crisis. Me personally, I'm going to be torn to pieces. That's fine. I don't care. I live in a trailer. But the point, most people are like, well, he doesn't care about money. Exactly. I will continue on. I don't care. But this operation will continue. We have a federal law that they cannot destroy a company just because they want to. But we need the money. We are in the hands of the listeners and viewers. InfoWarsStore.com. Sorry, Laura, go ahead.
Yeah, and look, obviously, like, I'm not hired by InfoWars to do this, and I haven't received payment for this. And so if people want to support my investigative journalism and they want to, you know, help cover the cost, because, as you said, you know, it'd be great. And Alex did have plans to hire me, but because of all the litigation, he can't hire me right now. But you can go to Lumerd.com. That's Lumerd.com, and that's where you can donate, and you can make a donation to support my continued investigative journalism. Or you can also subscribe to my Substack. It's free to subscribe, lauralumer.substack.com. But you can upgrade your subscription to $7 per month. Because
absolutely. So we're in a war. People need to put their money on the table, their time, their energy. We're in a war. You're fighting hard. We're fighting hard. We're not bitching. We're just saying, folks, this is a ragtag operation, but we're having huge victories. I want to go to break and come back with you. I know you're supposed to check out of your hotel right now, but do a little bit more time with us. I want to get back to this big meeting because you're absolutely right. They're openly running around the country trying to – they've been suing to try to block popular candidates from being able to run again. Well, that's Elias, Hillary Clinton's lawyer. That's election meddling on its face, the purest form. They're trying to put Trump in jail because he's obviously the presumptive candidate and 35 points ahead of DeSantis. Let's talk about that when we come back. We'll back in 2 minutes, Laura Loomer, hour number two. Then Pete Santilli's coming on with Title 42 collapse and what's really going on. Mark Zuckerberg put in over $400 million to manipulate the voter rolls and engage in the fraud to create the databases they needed when they – all over the country got caught at safe houses filling in the mail-in ballots with names of dead people that had moved out of the state or out of the district. And where are the Republicans when the Democratic Party leadership and all these big bankers and Soros-funded people are meeting in D.C.? No one's there but Laura Loomer. And we've got a bunch of the videos of her confronting these people. They're at Loomer.com. They're very important videos. They're on InfoWars.com as well. But the point is that this is in plain view, and they're about to do it again. This is a short segment. Laura, we'll get into Trump and DeSantis and them prosecuting Trump and all that next segment. But just finishing up on how important this conference is, and obviously they're going to have more conferences coming up. They're organizing to do it again. Where is Congress? What Zuckerberg did was illegal.
Absolutely, it's illegal. And like I said, the Republicans haven't done anything to address it. Who knows where their next conference is going to be, but clearly this conference took place to discuss 2024. I have a ton of video footage that I haven't released yet. I'm going to be releasing it over these next few days, confronting the organizer of the conference himself. I ambushed Brad Raffensperger, the Georgia Secretary of State, yesterday as well. That video hasn't been released. We're going to be putting packages together and releasing all this footage. I just sent your team one of my videos confronting Bill Gates, who's the supervisor in Maricopa County, if they could upload that to my band channel, because then your viewers would be able to see that as well. Jamie Raskin was their keynote speaker, Alex. Just think of how crazy this is. Jamie Raskin, who is the impeachment manager for the impeachment of Donald Trump and also one of the ringleaders for the January 6th committee, he was their keynote speaker. And just days ago with Jen Psaki on MSNBC, he called for charges of seditious conspiracy to be brought against President Donald Trump in an effort to try to prevent him from even being on the ballot in 2024. How is this a nonpartisan conference? No, this is a conference of Trump-hating election riggers who are here to fortify our elections. It's very important for everybody to contact their Secretary of State and their supervisors of elections who attended this conference. I'm going to be releasing a list of all the names, and you need to demand their resignation. This should be all over the news, Alex. This is absolutely an abomination. The same people. When are people going to learn their damn lesson? We're watching a repeat of 2020 play right out before our eyes ahead of 2024. What are we going to have? Donald Trump win in 2024 only for it to be stolen again and then sit here and say,
and this is giving me flashbacks of you and I 4 years ago when the deplatforming of you and I began, when you warned Trump, you're next. I mean, everything you said came true.
Everything I said came true. And look, Trump wanted to hire me. Okay, there was a story that came out in the New York Times 3 weeks ago about how Trump said, hire Laura Loomer. Okay, and then Marjorie Trader Greene.
And then they called you a white supremacist.
No, they call me anti-Muslim. There were leakers around him. So he's still surrounded by people who are leaking and, you know, not having his best interest in mind. And then Marjorie.
Laura, listen, I'll just say this. I love MTG. I love you. And I know you guys have your differences, but just I don't want to get into it with her. You can say whatever you want. I just want to be clear. You're doing great work.
I'm just talking about the fact that, like, you shouldn't even like her, first of all, because she's disingenuous, Alex. But secondly, okay, having somebody like me inside Trump's camp is a win for the America First movement. I could be exposing this, and Trump's team could be blowing the whistle on this stuff. That's the kind of stuff that MTG sabotage when she works with the New York Times and leakers in the Trump camp to basically torpedo this from happening. I'm trying to protect President Trump. I'm trying to protect millions of voters who don't want to live under a communist new world order. Okay, this is very serious and personal to me. I have dedicated my life to this and have been destroyed just like you, Alex. And so it's time for people to get serious about it, and we need to start demanding accountability. Okay, they need to start addressing this, or else they're going to steal the election.
Sure, I think a lot of the Republican infighting is just politics. That's not my bailiwick. It's not my bag. But Laura, you're doing a great job. Let's come back and talk about Trump and the prosecution of him and where this is all going. Let's talk about that when we come back. Let's talk about them trying to steal the next election. All right, folks. Mark Zuckerberg, George Soros, and others put in hundreds of millions of dollars. Zuckerberg, over $400 million, to get all the databases of dead voters and people that have moved out of state. That all came out. It was totally illegal. And they're doing it again, and they're meeting right now in D.C. at the International Spy Museum. Laura Loomer is there covering it. Laura, in the time we have left in this segment, have a bunch of other news and analysis I'm going to be hitting. They admit they're doing this. And again, Elias, Hillary Clinton's lawyers running around filing suits everywhere to try to block Gozer and many others, MTG, from being able to run. They failed doing that, but that's election meddling right there. Then we have big tech and the Hunter Biden laptops, emblematic of that. That's a microcosm, manipulating elections. And now you have the George Soros DA, now the article right here, and the judge, who's also Soros minion, his daughter on record, judge limits Trump sharing of information from New York criminal case on social media. So that's a gag order by another name. Totally unconstitutional. So they can attack Trump, and he, in the public opinion, can't come out while they're attacking him in the media and leaking and say anything about it. This is so dangerous. What's the intel on Trump, DeSantis, and the rest of it?
Well, look, Alex, we've seen this before. This is exactly what they did to Roger Stone. They want it so that all of Trump's opponents and DeSantis and the media who are colluding together can make false accusations against President Trump and call him a criminal, and he has no recourse to publicly defend himself. That's why they're trying to ban him from Fox News. That's why they're pushing out people from Fox News who otherwise would have had him on to defend himself, because they're just going to attack, and gag him at the same time. Look, I just want to say, Alex, I love you, okay? You are an icon. You're somebody who has inspired me. We've known each other for, what, like 10 years now? But I just want to say, I told you. Do you remember back in November when I was railing against Ron DeSantis and trying to even just, you know, bring you the truth about Ron DeSantis and how terrible he was? But now you see it, and I'm so happy. I saw your interview with Roseanne Barr and how you guys finally admit that DeSantis is a neocon globalist puppet. But look, I've been railing against DeSantis more than anyone. It's why President Trump wanted to hire me, right? Because I've been exposing him and calling him out and exposing all of his ties to the deep state and the fact that he's anti-Trump and anti-America first. In fact, you had me on in 2021 to talk about his big tech bill that was intentionally designed to fail. And remember, I said, don't you think it's really strange, Alex, how he's saying he's going to make it illegal in the state of Florida for candidates to be banned on social media while they're running, but then I was literally the only deplatformed candidate and he didn't say a word? So, look, DeSantis is deep state. He's clearly going to be announcing his run for president any day now because the legislative session in Florida has ended. They changed the resign to run law to make an exception just for Governor Ron DeSantis, and it's shady. He also encouraged the passage and signing of legislation that conceals his travel records so that Floridians can't see that he's been campaigning and using the governor's plane and using Florida taxpayer money to run for president.
Well, listen, I look at it like this. I judge a tree by its fruits, like Christ said, and Trump's good on a lot of things, bad on some. DeSantis is good on a lot of things, bad on some. But DeSantis signing that anti-free speech bill That's the worst in the nation. And again, I'm not anti-Israel. He signs it in Israel that literally will put you in jail if you say something racist. You don't hurt anybody, but they put you in jail. That's horrible that DeSantis did that. That's like ADL stuff.
Yeah, look, my video expose is posted on my band.video channel for people to see this. I've been blowing the whistle on his hate crime legislation. And I'm Jewish, right? This has nothing to do with anti-Semitism. This is about Ron DeSantis trying to use anti-Semitism as a guise, okay, to criminalize constitutionally protected speech and lock people up for their constitutionally right to protest. So I just want to say, and we can admit it here for everybody to hear, you know, I was probably the first person to ever put a bug in your ear and say, Alex, Ron DeSantis is bad news. Am I right? I mean, I've been telling you about this for the last 2 years, Alex.
Up next is Jay Dyer. I'm sorry. He's talking about these invisible rulers from behind the scenes. And he focuses in on Great Britain and MI6 and so forth. But that goes way, way back. And so this is very, very interesting. And to listen to this, and I'll put up his click off for his total lecture on this particular end of the week lecture that he's been doing every Friday on Alex Jones's InfoWar. He comes on there and does give a very, very rousing, you know, and then I'm going to tell you about Synarchy, the word, what that means, Synarchy, after you listen to this short 10-minute clip. Here we go with Jay Dyer.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. You know, we've been talking about the meaning and significance of the coronation and how, you know, Charles represents the head of His Majesty's Secret Service and the British Secret Service, which operates, you know, not just in the UK, but also everywhere else, just sort of like the FBI operates domestically and then the CIA operates everywhere else. In the U.S., and this control structure is modeled in a very similar way to the British Empire because of what we were talking about, these agents and these people that were sent over to really help set up this national security state, which is more of a private shadow government answerable only to corporate elites and not subject to the laws of the land. And that's why there's so much corruption in the country, is that these are the people that are really kind of running and steering the country, not you, not the elected officials. Now, there is still a degree of, control at the local level when it comes to politicians and whatnot. But even those are fast being subverted. And I think there's a kind of a death knell sort of grasping when it comes to the election of the president. And we see some of that with people, you know, reacting by electing Trump. And I think that, you know, Trump is still speaking to that grassroots base that is figuring out something's wrong with the country. And even RFK Jr., right, is saying a lot of the same things that resonate with people that are figuring things out. So, you know, what his motives are, whether he's going to be a viable candidate, I don't know about that. But, you know, we see Trump capitalizing on the anger at his CNN event as well, really calling it out. And we hopefully Trump can continue with pushing through real stuff and not giving in to kind of letting the swamp run things. So, you know, I would say that hopefully we can still see a glimmer of hope, even at the national presidential level, with the candidates that are at least speaking a lot of truth, right? And I think if we don't expect too much, we can't expect the president to really fix everything. But what's great is that even without the president being able to necessarily fix things, a lot of truth is coming out through both Trump and RFK Jr. And so I think that's the bright side of all this, is that they do get to speak a lot of truth. But you see this pageantry and all this was basically just a kind of more of a Masonic ceremony with Christian trappings. And you have all the other world religions there reading scriptures and doing prayers with Hindus and Buddhists and Muslims, and you know, the standard sort of ecumenist approach to religion, not really Christianity, but with Christian trappings and pageantry and costumes, sort of a LARPing exercise. And if you know the history of the British elite, you know, as Alex always points out, you know, these are Saxe Coburg Gotha. They're not Anglo-Saxon, you know, native Albion people. They, according to Charles himself, come from Romania. I'm not dissing Romanians, but you know, this celebration here has nothing to do with anything that relates to the native British people. And that's why, you know, this family and these rulers have been disastrous for the native United Kingdom Albion people. And it's just really sad because, you know, these people are part of the corporate internationalist superstructure that we've been talking about, the oligarchical elite. And I want to add, too, that, you know, if you go over to my YouTube channel, Jay Dyer on YouTube, you'll notice that at the very top is a deep breakdown of the movie Network, which we were referencing in the last segment. So if you want a longer deep dive, we go into depth on that. But right below that is my deep dive on the history of the intelligence services. So see that right there at the top? The real story of the intelligence agencies with that chick with the gun there. Go watch that, because that's a three-hour breakdown of what we're talking about right now. This right here, this three-hour breakdown. I go really deep into the Charlton Heston documentary that gets into the history of all this. And I want to remind you, too, that if you go to my website, yeah, there's my channel. If you go to my website, you can get this at the shop. See that shop button right there at the top left? You get signed copies of all my books. This is my 660 pages of all of my essays the last 10 years in terms of theology, geopolitics, the New World Order, philosophy. It's all in this 660-page book, and you get signed copies at my website. So all the copies are signed. And, yes, I still have all of my older books as well. The Esoteric Hollywood is still there. So you can get part one, the classics, part two, going deep, deep, deep into movies, kind of like what we did with Network. So if you enjoy the deep dive that we did with the movie Network on my channel, you can also get deep dives into countless other films in those two books, and they're all signed copies. So again, this secret Milner Rothschild Rhodes inner circle clique of the British Empire that was the real powerhouse behind the British Empire, they were intent on bringing America back under its fold. And one of the things that Cecil Rhodes had an idea to do was he said, you know, look at the Jesuits. The Jesuits have this sort of commitment to an international entity, the papacy, the Roman Catholic Church. He said, why don't we utilize that structure? And Quigley talks about this in the Anglo-American Establishment. There's a whole section where he talks about Cecil Rhodes using the Jesuits as the model. He says that, you know, Rhodes realized that the Jesuits were a kind of international intelligence agency. The Vatican had this international intelligence agency operative for centuries, right? Even before the Jesuits, you could argue that the Vatican was kind of an international corporate intelligence agency. So maybe even the British East India Company is modeled on a kind of a prior corporate structure like the Vatican. And that's covered in detail in the lectures that we've done through the Operation Gladio book, the connection between the CIA, the Vatican, the Mafia, and the particularly the Vatican Bank, right, and the P2 lodges. Now, if you go into that lectures that we've done on that and on these books, you're going to see that this is how the world really works. It doesn't work as we think what's out there in public purview. It's actually run by wealthy people, and not just wealthy people. I'm not a communist or a Marxist. I'm talking about extremely powerful, extremely wealthy people like these people. Now, I don't think Charles is at the top of the pyramid, right? You know, you can find pictures of certain people above him putting their finger in his chest, telling him what to do. But this family has, I think, billions of dollars in land and holdings. So they certainly do have a lot of wealth and power. They are up there on the power structure. And they're all openly Malthusian, right? Countless quotes. It's not a conspiracy theory. They talk about it. I wish I could come back as a virus and kill off humanity. Can't you guess? Can't you guess? Don't you know? I mean, they talk about it, right? And they're cohorts, the people that they made an alliance with in the U.S., the Rockefeller family, Carnegie family, Vanderbilts, Oppenheimers, Guggenheim, all of those wealthy oligarchic robber baron families in the U.S. who made this alliance that makes up the Anglo-American establishment, the Eastern Seaboard elite in particular. They also, shocker, 100% across the board, all believe in Malthusian dysgenics, all of them. So that's how we get things like the last 3 years of COOF, and this giant black ops operation of trying to get a billion people or more to take this experimental genetic therapy, quote unquote, bioweapon. It's because they're Malthusian. They have this attitude. And the people that run the corporations are all in the same groups as these people. That's why the people that go to Bilderberg go to Trilateral Commission. And they also go to the CFR. They're all part of the same steering committees. And this is all public. It's all on record. It's not a conspiracy theory. That's the amazing thing, is that all of this is in public purview, hidden in plain sight. Hidden in plain sight is also a kind of a tactic, a technique that Tavistock talked about. And I mentioned these earlier, but this is not about hidden in plain sight, but here's what I've been telling you, right? Walter Lippmann, Public Opinion. This is about how he wrote this in 1920, even prior to Edward Menezes' famous book on propaganda. Walter Lippmann wrote about controlling people through mass media in 1920. So you think it's a conspiracy theory? Well, the people who run this, the people who produce studies for the RAND Corporation, for the CIA, for the CFR, right? That's what Tavistock does. They produce research and R&D for the power structure. It's just one of many. It's the premier psychological warfare think tank using behavior modification. That's what this is, behavior modification on a mass scale. And, you know, his cohort, who wrote Propaganda, Bernays, right, 5 years later, said about this guy that we are controlled by an elite that most people don't know about. Most people don't know who Walter Lippmann is. But yet, in the very first page of Propaganda, which is one of the most famous books on this topic by Edward Bernays, we are controlled by an invisible government, a ruling power that has nothing to do with the elected officials. This is the logical result of so-called democracy. We're not a democracy. Republic is not a democracy. Different things. But this invisible government, he says, constitutes a true power structure, and nobody even knows the names of these people.
The King of England, King Charles III, is very powerful, but he's head of the New World Order. And so with that power can come a danger to many people throughout the world. And so it remains to be seen exactly how this is going to fall out. Let me get back to the word. He talks about this invisible government that's working behind the scenes. Remember the Wizard of Oz and the guy behind the green curtain, you know, talking. The great wizard voice was there, and they had a big microphone there he's speaking into. And he was presenting himself as some great wizard, and it was just a little man behind the green curtain. Well, the word synarchy was coined, you could say, back in 1700s in France. And it meant it played on the word synarchy, which means a group of people coming together, but behind the scenes to manipulate and dominate the political realities. And that's basically what has been going on for centuries now. The secret societies and the mystery school system has been behind the scene and putting into office their elected officials that would manipulate and dominate, and actually they're thieving the economy in most cases. So one example of some of these mechanizations is that there was a lot of questions were raised by Sidney Powell, and about these machines, you know, whether you could come in the back door of some of these voting machines and so forth and so on. And with my deep digging down into this matter has convinced me that, yes, it's very possible that those machines could be used and back doors could be opened to manipulate the results of some of those elections. But this is not just a U.S. problem, a national problem. It appears to me through my research that other interests, you could say, European interests, have devised means by which to also manipulate elections. So it's not only the U.S. companies operating on an international basis, but other Western powers in Europe operating in the same way to fix elections throughout the world. And this is really what we're up against. We're up against an international elite, a rule, you know, that we must try to expose and try to keep them from totally taking away all of our liberties and freedoms with digital IDs, where we can buy and sell only what they want us to buy or sell, and they can control us totally in that way. There is controversy out there on the web right now between BRICS and the Western financial system. The BRICS is coming together with China and Russia and other members, Brazil, I believe, and South Africa, and many others have joined in now. And it appears that they're going to use the renminbi, which is the yuan, the Chinese yuan, and push that for an international reserve currency, even though there are some that have said that China does not want that, but they want another form of monetary unit to become the reserve currency. But what has happened is that the Western powers devised from the 1500s on a creation of entries, book entries, that actually turned into credit. And those credit entries were used to trade and to manipulate the market, but also used by people that acquired those credits to buy and sell their products. And so some of these credits were created by national banks, which had the authority to create some of those credits from out of thin air. But it was created on a debt basis through bond issues. So the Western fractional banking system was based upon a monetary unit based upon debt. The BRICS, as I understand it, are trying to devise a monetary unit based upon commodity, perhaps gold or silver, but there might be oil also. If Saudi joins in with BRICS and so forth, which they may do, then they could easily use that oil as to back up the monetary unit. What we're seeing occur now is there's a geopolitical concept called the heartland, okay? And the heartland basically consists of Western of Europe, along with Russia, Siberia, China, and India and those countries in there, that they compose the heartland, okay? And there's a geopolitical precept, you could say, that he who rules the heartland rules the world, and that's why this is getting to be a very dangerous world for us to exist in, because the heartland, okay, can come up with the ruler, you could say, of the world, which would be take down America. And so this is what we're up against right now, is the BRICS is devising a new monetary system, and that could easily take down our Western banking system. The dollar, it will slowly and maybe accelerate its value as a international currency. There's so much trade already done in the dollar that it's hard to extinguish that totally as a reserve currency, because then there's a lot of oil still traded, the Aramco and so forth. And Europe and the euro is used in Europe, but also all kinds of nations are trading by use of the U.S. dollar. They'll take their currencies, change them into the dollar, and to make the transaction work. So anyway, I want to thank each and every one of you out there in the audience for listening. And this Laura Loomer is just a fine person and does a fine job in reporting. And she's a go-getter. She's on our side, and she's really a stand-up lady. And I highly respect Laura Loomer. So thank you, Laura, for your work and your hard work and dedication to this country. Thank you, and good night.